Gentas presents Whatever It Takes by Paul Cleave, narrated by David Calvito. For my cousin, Katrina Cox, one of the strongest and most positive people I've been lucky enough to know. 1.
You're going to kill him, Drew says. I rest my forehead against the wall and stare at the floor. I try to get my breathing under control. There's a half-flattened cockroach down there, along with a cigarette butt tossed at the garbage bin that's missed. There's something in my mind that hurts. I pinch the bridge of my nose and squeeze my eyes shut and will the pain away, but it holds on tight. It's like a splinter buried deep that's gotten infected, and the only way to dull the pain is by punching the guy tied up in the chair. Which is what I do. I've hit him so many times already, my fingers hurt bad, but his face has to hurt more. His left eye is swollen and purple, his nose is broke, and his bottom lip split, and there's plenty of blood and torn skin. But despite all that, the son of a bitch still looks up at me with a grin, the kind of grin anybody would want to wipe off his face. Only so far, nothing has worked. The only thing I can wipe are my knuckles on my shirt, which is already plenty messy. Drew puts a hand on my shoulder and I shrug it off. Don't, I tell him. He puts his hand back on my shoulder and looks me right in the eye. Drew and me, we've been best friends since we were kids. Growing up, we chased girls across playgrounds and climbed trees and went fishing. When we were older, we joined the police together and played the role of best man at the other's wedding. If he doesn't remove his hand in the next 2 seconds, I'm going to break it.
This isn't you, Noah. This isn't the way we do things.
He's right. This isn't me. Yet here we are. He takes his hand off my shoulder.
God damn it, Noah. I can't let you beat him to death.
Drew has a look on his face that's a mixture of confusion and panic, mixed in with an overwhelming look of wanting to pretend this isn't happening. I feel the same way. You should leave. I take another swing at the guy in the chair before Drew can say whatever it is he thought he could say that would stop me. Blood and sweat mist the dry air, and the punch echoes in the room. I can smell wood and blood and sweat. The guy spits a glob of blood on the floor and shakes his head. His smile comes back, and I feel something in my stomach roll.
My dad is going to put you in a box, he says.
His name is Conrad, and the same way me and Drew grew up together, so did me and Conrad, only everything was opposite. We never hung out. Conrad isn't a hanging out kind of guy. He's a selfish son of a bitch. He's a bully without an ounce of decency in him. The kind of guy women warn their friends about and cross the road to avoid. He's also the sheriff's son. You should be spending time thinking about your future, not mine, I tell him. He spits again.
I told you already, he says. I don't know where she is.
I pace the office. The windows are closed and the air isn't just hot, but sticky hot. My clothes are damp. They cling to my skin and stretch when I move. The wooden floors are worn smooth by the years of anxious foremen pacing them the same way I'm pacing them now, and they creak a little under my weight. Conrad is the current foreman. The furniture in here is so old everything could be a prototype. The first desk ever built, the first filing cabinet assembled. Hell, even the computer is so big it looks like its first job was cracking the Enigma code. There's a TV bolted on the wall with a screen as round as a fishbowl. Ceiling is pitted with fly crap, and the in-out trays on the desk have paperwork spilling out of them. My headache is starting to rage, and the thing turning in my stomach turns some more. I don't like where this is going. I wish there were a way to take it all back. There isn't. I have to carry on. For the girl. Alyssa. I stop pacing in front of him. Where is she?